Powder X-ray diffraction is a characterization method which requires careful specimen preparation to obtain a quality X-ray diffraction pattern. Making certain that specimen preparation is done properly simplifies data analysis and helps to ensure that the interpretation of the data is correct. This presentation will introduce you to several different methods that are used to prepare samples for X-ray diffraction measurements and will review the reasons why one might choose one method over another for a particular analysis need. Please note that these are only a few of a variety of methods that can be used to prepare specimens. Sample holders and requirements will vary depending upon the manufacturer of the diffractometer that is used and the setup of the optics and experimental parameters. It is also important to mention that in many cases, a single sample preparation may not meet all of the analysis needs. Multiple preparations may need to be used to investigate the material fully. In the year 2000, in an overview of X-ray methods in the Modern Analytical Laboratory, published in Encyclopedia of Analytical Chemistry, the late Ron Jenkins estimated that there were approximately 30,000 powder diffractometers in use around the world. The number has certainly increased since the time of that review, as advances in X-ray tube and detector technology, along with improvements in data analysis resulting from the availability of sophisticated software and databases, have enabled analysts to collect more data in less time than has ever been possible in the history of the technique. As one of very few techniques that can determine the structure or how atoms arrange into compounds and composition, even quantitative weight percent, of a crystalline material, the usefulness of the technique spans across many areas of materials research. The fact that it is generally a non-destructive method allows samples to be preserved for other characterization methods and enables the use of the technique as a process quality control tool. Additionally, the measurements are relatively fast, requiring minutes per sample for most needs. Typical information that can be gained from the diffraction pattern includes the following. First of all, it is possible to determine the crystallinity of the material. Is the material crystalline or amorphous? What sort of imperfections exist in the material? And an estimation of the fraction of the material that is crystalline. Second, we can obtain the average size of the crystallites. Third, we can look at the composition of the material in terms of the compounds or phases present. And finally, we consider what is the structure of the material and what are the lattice parameters of that structure. Preparing a perfect powder specimen often starts long before the sample makes its way to the X-ray laboratory bench. Due to the fact that a very small amount of material is actually tested, it is critical that the specimen is representative of the bulk material being tested. A number of methods can be used to take the specimen from its collection point to the laboratory. A general rule of thumb is that good qualitative results can be obtained with samples that have a particle size in the 40 to 45 micron range. For very accurate quantitative analysis, the size must be less than 10 microns. Once the requirement of producing a representative sample is met, it is the analyst's job to ensure that a sufficient number of crystallites are present by grinding the sample to an appropriate size, and then preparing the specimen in such a way that those crystallites are randomly oriented. Finally, the sample must contain enough of the phase of interest to provide sufficient intensity using data collection parameters and instrumentation that produces a quality diffraction pattern. This slide and the next four represent five different ways to prepare a sample for an X-ray powder diffraction experiment. Each method has its advantages and disadvantages. The first method that we will review is the front load cavity mount. This is a very way to prepare a specimen. It's ideally done with a zero background holder with a cavity, but one can use other materials as a sample support. Other materials tend to contribute to the pattern unless the beam is completely maintained on the sample, however, which makes the zero background holder ideal. This method suffers from what is known as preferred orientation due to preparation, the motion of the slide, and packing of the material. It's a great method when all that is required from the analysis is phase identification. It is also acceptable for calculating lattice parameters if you are careful to make the height of the sample match the top surface of the plate. It is always best to use an internal standard mixed into the powder for optimum results. It requires a relatively moderate amount of sample, and even smaller cavities can be machined into a specimen support if needed. This method reduces the specimen transparency error for samples that have a low mass attenuation coefficient. I'd like to demonstrate for you the way we prepare a sample for powder X-ray diffraction using a top or front-loaded mount. The type of sample holder that I'm going to use is made from a piece of single crystal silicon that's been cut at a specific angle so that it gives us nearly no background and certainly no diffraction peaks in our diffraction pattern. You'll notice that it has a cavity in the center that's about a half a millimeter thick and about 35 millimeters in diameter. What I'm going to do is take a little bit of powdered material. This has already been roughly ground. I'm going to grind it just a little bit more using a mortar and pestle. Just to take out any sort of agglomeration that might be present. For the purpose of this analysis, I would like my particle size to be on the order of about 40 to 45 micron. So I'm going to take a little bit of that powder and I'm going to put it in the cavity. I want a little bit more than it takes to fill the cavity. And then I'm going to take my glass slide and I'm going to use the edge of the slide to move the sample into the center of the cavity. And then I'm going to use the flat part of the slide to level this out with the goal being to make the surface of my powder level with the surface of the sample holder. This is actually a fairly important requirement when we're prepping any sample for powder X-ray diffraction. The height of the sample is very critical to the quality of the data that you collect. And so we try to do a very nice job of making sure that that is the case. The next sample preparation mount we will review is the backfill mount. This is also a relatively easy way to prepare a specimen. The method still suffers from preferred orientation, but to a lesser degree than the front load cavity mount. It's a great way to do phase identification, lattice parameters, and semi-quantitative work. It requires more sample than the front load cavity, and the height of the sample must again meet the top of the holder to avoid specimen displacement errors. One must use care when mounting the sample in the diffractometer to ensure the holder does not contribute to the pattern. You need to make sure that the beam stays on the sample and avoid hitting the aluminum alloy. This method ensures that for most materials, the specimen is infinitely thick, meaning that penetration depths are less than the depth of the cavity. This may not be the case for organic materials, which have penetration depths on the order of a few millimeters. The next sample preparation method that I'd like to demonstrate is what we call a backfill mount. In this case, I'm going to be using a sample holder that's made of an aluminum alloy. It's basically a rectangle of aluminum with an opening in the center. And we have some scribe marks that help with positioning the sample once we're ready to put it into the instrument. what I'm going to do is take a glass slide, and I'm going to tape this on to one side of the aluminum holder. In a manner that I'll be able to peel this tape back off in just a moment. Okay, so something like that. And then I'm going to flip it over, put the glass slide down, and I'm going to take my powder that's been prepared, and we're going to fill up this cavity in the back load mount. As you can see, this takes a lot more sample than the first method that I showed you. We're going to use sort of the same idea. We're going to take a second slide, and we're going to use that to position the powder in the cavity. I also want to use a little bit of force this time when I put the powder into the cavity. Okay, I want to make sure that I put enough powder in the cavity that it's completely filled. Okay, and then the idea will be to take our second slide, and we're going to tape this slide on to this side of the sample holder. This time, I want this tape to remain on the specimen holder during the measurement. So I'm going to tape it down pretty well. And then I'm going to flip this back over. And we're going to peel off the first two pieces of tape. And there is my back-loaded specimen for powder X-ray diffraction. The next method is what is known as a smear mount, and this can be done either on a glass specimen holder or on a flat zero background holder. This is an extremely quick and very easy way to prepare a sample, but it does still suffer from preferred orientation. It's very good for phase identification, but the major benefit is that it requires a very small amount of sample. If a glass support is used, the background will show the amorphous nature of glass. So a zero background holder with no cavity is better because you will be able to identify an amorphous phase in your material. This method cannot be used if lattice parameter calculations are required, and it tends to give very low intensities. I'd like to demonstrate now the way we prepare what we call a smear mount for powder X-ray diffraction work. This is a sample prep method that can be used whenever you have a very small amount of material. It can also be used for some materials to avoid what we call preferred orientation, a preferential way that the crystallites line up that we generally want to avoid. This is not a good method if you need to calculate lattice parameters for your material, but it can be very, very useful, again, if you have a very small amount of material. In this case, we have lots of material, but we're going to just take a very small amount of it for this demonstration, and I'm going to put it into a smaller mortar, and I'm going to add just a little bit of regular ethanol. Now, it should be noted that this can't be used for all samples. If your sample is changed in any way by adding a solvent to it, this wouldn't be a good idea. But for this particular material, this will work just fine. What I'm going to do is use my pestle to just kind of move the material around a little bit. You can even do a little bit of wet grinding here if necessary. And then I'm going to take a pipette And I'm going to bring up some of that material into the pipette. And I find that it helps to let the material kind of settle down into the bottom of the pipette first. I've used perhaps a little bit more solvent here than I needed. A little bit less would be better. And then I'm going to take my material here, and I'm now using the backside of that sample holder that we used previously, the low background silicon holder. And I'm going to take this and I'm just going to drip the material onto the sample holder like so. And the idea would be that I want to make a very nice thin layer that covers a relatively large percentage of the surface area of that sample holder. And as you move it around, your solvent should begin to evaporate. This could also be done if you don't have access to a silicon zero background holder. This could be done on a simple glass slide using exactly the same technique. The zero background holder is the preferred method because if we use glass as our sample holder, it will contribute to the background in the pattern. You'll have a large amorphous contribution from the glass slide itself, and it makes it impossible to know if you have an amorphous contribution from the material. You can see that this is drying, and I would simply want to wait until this has completely dried. And then this specimen can be presented to the diffractometer for measurement. The next method is called a top dusted mount. And the major benefit of this technique is, like the previous mount, that it requires very little sample. This method also has the advantage that it minimizes preferred orientation in the specimen. It's very, very good for phase identification, but again, cannot be used if lattice parameter calculations are needed. It too gives low intensities, and the sample will be contaminated with petroleum jelly. I'd like to show you how to prepare what we call a top dusted specimen for powder X-ray diffraction work. What we use in this case is a little bit of regular petroleum jelly, and I'm just going to take a little bit of this, put it on a Q-tip. And when I say a little bit, I mean a very little bit. It doesn't take much of the Vaseline to do this sample preparation technique. I'm going to put a little bit of this on my sample holder, and I'm going to spread it out. And at this point, I've really only put the petroleum jelly on one side of my Q-tip. So I'm going to flip it over, and then I'm going to remove a good amount of that petroleum jelly. So again, just making a very thin layer. Next, what I'm going to do is take a little bit of my powdered material, and I'm going to just sort of sprinkle this over the surface. Covering a good majority of the Vaseline that we just put down. Next, what I'm going to do is just kind of tap the holder a little bit to distribute the powder. Tap it with your hands. You can tap it gently on the bench top. The idea being here is that we want a very, very thin layer of sample. This is actually a very good way, perhaps not the very best way, but still a good way to minimize the effect of preferred orientation in your sample. It's not a wonderful way to prepare a sample in the sense that your intensities are going to be very, very low. So this is a technique that I would use, one, if I have a small amount of sample, and two, if my efforts are to reduce preferred orientation and to do phase identification of the material. The final preparation method that we will review is filling a capillary for mounting in a microfocus diffractometer. The major advantage of this technique is that a minimum amount of sample is required. Additionally, any type of material that is air sensitive can be placed in the capillary and the capillary sealed to prevent air interactions. Grinding is very important during this type of sample preparation. If the particles are not small enough, you will not be able to fill the capillary properly. Every pattern will have a slight amorphous contribution from the capillary itself, which can be a disadvantage to this technique and makes quantification more challenging. Additionally, the cost of capillaries can be prohibitive if you have a large number of samples to test. Each capillary is on the order of $3 to $4 each. I'd like to demonstrate now the way that we prepare a sample in a capillary for powder X-ray diffraction work. You can use a number of different sizes of capillaries for this work. I'm going to use a 0.7 millimeter OD capillary for this purpose. You'll notice that it has a little funnel on the top, which helps a lot with preparing the sample. This is simply what we call a special glass capillary. You can also buy these in quarts, but for most purposes, the glass works just fine. What I'm going to do is take my powdered material, and I'm going to utilize that funnel to scoop up a little bit of the powder, like so. And then I'm going to place this into my handcrafted specimen holder, which is, as you can see, simply a paper cup with a hole punched in the top and a little viewing area cut out of the side. And I'm going to just take the cup and gently tap it on the countertop. And hopefully that powder falls down into the capillary. See how we did. Okay, we got quite a bit of powder here. There's a little bit up here in the top. Let's give that another tap. It's very important in this sample preparation that you make sure that your material is very finely ground. Otherwise, it's going to get stuck in the capillary tube. So that looks pretty good, but we need a little bit more. I'd like to have this at least half, if not closer to 3/4 full for analyzing on our microdiffractometer. So let's put a little more in the funnel and repeat the same procedure. Okay, got a couple of gaps, a little more tapping. And that looks pretty good. The largest error in any X-ray diffraction experiment is what is termed the specimen displacement error. This error refers to any form of specimen placement error that places the top of the specimen either above or below the focusing circle of the X-ray diffractometer. This error results either from imperfect sample preparation or from improper placement of the sample in the diffractometer. This slide illustrates the effect of sample displacement. Note that when the specimen is placed in a location below the focusing circle, the incident beam travels a longer distance than it should if the specimen were properly positioned. This results in the diffracted beam being detected at an angle lower than the expected position. Conversely, if the specimen is placed at a position higher than the focusing circle, the diffracted beam is detected at an angle higher than the expected position. The largest error in any X-ray diffraction experiment is what is termed the specimen displacement error. This error refers to any form of specimen placement error that places the top of the specimen either above or below the focusing circle of the X-ray diffractometer. This error results either from imperfect sample preparation or from improper placement of the sample in the diffractometer. This slide illustrates the effect of sample displacement. Note that when the specimen is placed in a location below the focusing circle, the incident beam travels a longer distance than it should if the specimen were properly positioned. This results in the diffracted beam being detected at an angle lower than the expected position. Conversely, if the specimen is placed at a position higher than the focusing circle, the diffracted beam is detected at an angle higher than the expected position. The specimen displacement error is easily demonstrated by using pieces of paper as sample offsets. Note the peak in black at the lowest 2θ position in the figure at left. This represents proper specimen placement. As little as the thickness of one piece of normal copy paper is enough to produce a detectable change in peak position. The peak in red corresponds to one piece of paper underneath the sample, which is approximately 0.08 millimeters of displacement. Additional peaks from left to right represent additional layers of paper. As peak position is perhaps the most valuable piece of information obtained from the diffraction pattern, proper care must be taken to ensure that the specimen height position is properly set, or there is little point in conducting the experiment. Once the sample has been properly prepared, it is placed into the instrument as shown in the following video. I'd like to show you now the way that we take the top-filled mount and mount it into the diffractometer. This is a fairly simple process. Right now I have installed on our instrument what we call the flat holder or the flat sample stage. Very simple device. It's basically just a little clip that's spring-loaded, and I'm going to take my sample that I prepared and insert this by pulling down on the clip and putting the sample holder in at an angle, like so. We want to leave on this particular instrument a slight gap between the back of the holder and the sample that's maybe 5 to 10 millimeters in depth. If you need to work with a non-powder sample, or what we might call a bulk specimen, this can be accommodated in our instrumentation as shown in the following video. I'd like to show you how we mount a bulk specimen for measurement on the X-ray diffractometer. What I'm going to do is pick up my sample. In this case, this is a piece of bulk ceramic that's been polished to a nice smooth surface. And I'm first going to put down, this is another type of zero background holder that we use. This one is made of quartz rather than silicon. And I'm just going to place that on the center of the stage. And then I'm going to place my specimen on top of that. Now, the holder, the quartz holder, isn't entirely necessary in this experiment, but it helps in the situation that if our beam should spill over past the boundaries of the specimen itself, we wouldn't want to get the X-ray diffraction pattern from the steel stage. Okay? Now, it's very important that whenever I mount a sample like this, that the surface of the sample ends up on what we call the focusing circle of the goniometer. And the way I do that on this instrument is by using this dial gauge, which basically just uses pressure. And we have aligned the instrument such that whenever this gauge reads 1 millimeter, then I know that the surface of the sample is where it needs to be. Okay, 1 millimeter on this gauge is going to be where the outer needle is on the zero at the top of the dial, and the smaller needle is on the one. Okay, the way we install this is by using a 3 newton meter torque wrench. And this goes in this bracket on top of the sample stage, and I'm just going to lightly tighten that screw with my fingers, and I position the needle over the top of the sample. Then I take my torque wrench and I come in to the prefix screw, and we want to tighten until we hear the torque wrench click. One click like that is the sound that we want to hear. Okay. Now you can see right now that the smaller needle is way above the one. So what I'm going to do is take this driver and insert it through the hole into this screw on the stage. And by turning counterclockwise in this case, we're going to move the stage down until we reach that 1 millimeter position. It's important to make sure that you're not one line high or one line low, because this will actually make a fairly significant error in your data collection. Once I have the position set, I have to remove the dial gauge for the measurement, and I do that again with my torque wrench. Once you've loaded the sample, now come to the software and write a program to perform your measurement. In the software, we first go to the File, Open Program menu. That opens up a list of default programs that we can modify for the needs of our current analysis. What I'm going to do is open up this program that says Common Powder Scan Multipurpose Sample Stage. Note that the programs are specific to the certain stage that you have mounted, so you want to make sure that you choose a program that corresponds to the stage that you're using. So we select this program and click Open to view the details. Okay. Note on the left-hand side that the stage is listed and the type of scan that we're going to be doing also shows. A powder diffraction scan is what we call a gonio scan on this instrument, which means that our X-ray tube and our detector are going to be moving together at equal angles. In the center, the program should say, or the option should be selected to do a continuous scan. And below that, we enter our start and end angles. Most inorganic materials have the majority of their interesting diffraction peaks somewhere between 10 and 70 degrees to theta. And that's exactly how this program has been written. After you choose the start and end angles, you choose a step size. In this case, we're using a step size of approximately 0.02 degrees, and we're going to use a count time of approximately 100 seconds. You'll note that when I click off of those fields, the values change to the nearest angle that's possible with the current settings that I've selected. These settings would be typical for most inorganic powdered materials, and give us a scan that's good for qualitative phase identification. The second step in setting up your program is to go into the Settings dialog by pressing the Settings button. Scroll to the top of the screen and then check to make sure that the program corresponds to the optics that you have installed on the diffractometer. At the top, we should have the prefix module listed as the programmable divergent slits with anti-scatter slit. Check to make sure that the proper solar slits, 0.04 radians, and a beam mask that makes sense for your particular sample is indicated in the program. Under programmable divergent slit, a typical setup is to use a fixed slit setting with a quarter degree divergent slit and a half degree anti-scatter slit.
Our tool has no filters, beam attenuators, mirrors, or monochrometers on the incident side. So those are all indicated as none. And then we scroll down to the diffracted side and note that the prefix module should be indicated as the pixel with programmable anti-scatter slit. Again, check the optics. Make sure that the beta filter nickel is indicated, that the solar slits are 0.04, and that our anti-scatter slit matches the programmable divergence slit that we indicated on the incident side. That would be, again, a quarter degree. Finally, check to make sure that the detector is properly set. It's important that we be collecting this data in a scanning line, 1D geometry. So make sure that's correct. And you also want to make sure that all of the channels on the detector are open. This field should indicate 255 channels. Again, there's no monochrometer or receiving slit installed for this application. So we simply click the OK button. And then save your program to your folder on the instrument's hard drive.
Thank you for viewing our materials on sample preparation for X-ray diffraction. Hopefully this information will be helpful to you as you use X-ray diffraction in your research projects. And I would be more than happy to review these methods in person with you and discuss other possibilities. Please stop by and see me. I'm in room N008 in the Millennium Science Complex, and my email is nmw10@psu.edu.